Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to our show, the Neobank Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and I'm here with Neil Psychic. And also, good morning, everybody. Today, we are continuing our conversation that we began on Monday about the birth and death of relationships. So the karmic aspects of relationships that we encounter and the transcendent aspects, when those relationships are due to end and when one should continue, depending on whether the situation is karmic or transcendent, because as we discussed in the last show, Neil, even a karmic relationship has its place and purpose. In fact, can last a lifetime. But we're going to get to that in just a moment. I want to encourage everybody to join us right here on Blog Talk Radio. You may do so by clicking on that follow button under our profile name, the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. We also have a Facebook page, actually two. One is linked right here. Again, under our Blog Talk Radio profile, there's a Twitter account. And Neil's Amazon.com page, for those of you interested in reading his book. You may find them there. The other Facebook page can be found via our page, our Facebook page, the fan page. So please join us there. We appreciate it. Neil's number, 562-596-7818. He does not respond to emails. I respond to emails, so if you have any inquiries after the show regarding a longer discussion, please refer to the phone number, 562-596-7818. But, Neil, where did we leave off on Monday? Do you remember? Because
I don't quite remember.
But that's okay.
You know, when you were dealing with the birth and death of relationships, it's kind of there's some truth in that, and then of course we're not suggesting that a relationship has to have a birth and a death connected to it.
No.
So it almost sounds like birthday of relationships. We talk about birth and death or alpha and omega, beginning and end of relationships. There is some way to measure the karmic depth of a relationship.
Right, and so if we're talking about the birth of a relationship, really, a karmic relationship is a continuum of a past life relationship. So the birth is, not really in this particular lifetime if you're dealing with, your current incarnation. We're talking about a birth of a relationship many lifetimes ago.
Yeah.
But I think in this aspect, the birth and death of relationships are referring to the opening and closing of relationships in a specific lifetime, though we know that the history
is
dense and vast.
Mm-hmm. What we can look at is the day that in this linear life that you meet your karmic relationship.
Oh, I want to tell the callers that we're going to be getting to them in about 10 minutes or so. So we're going to be getting to each one of you, so please do keep your place in line. We'll get to your calls and do readings at about 20 minutes after the show.
So, what you can do as one thing about a karmic relationship in terms of the karmic relationships that people out there have that have had a beginning and an end in history, in their own personal history, analyze the way that person came into your life. Under what circumstances? Where were you? What were you doing at the time? What was the environment? Was it a work environment? Was it a party? Was it on the internet? Was it in school? Was it on a job? Look where the initial connection occurred, because that environment is actually a continuum of how you left off
in the past life.
In the past life.
It's very interesting.
So if, you know, first of all, you have to look at the theme. And if it's at school, there's something educational about the relationship that's got to be learned. If it's about that, if the job is something occupational, and so on and so forth. So you've got to look at where the environment is. And if it's at a party or there's some kind of social gathering, then it's probably a tribal relationship of some respect. And you got to see what you were feeling or what you were going through when the person actually appeared in your life. That also accounts for the day that the person appeared and even the time and what was going on in your life. Were you in a relationship and this person compromised now the relationship you were in? Were you desperately alone and seeking someone? Were you not looking for anyone and someone just happened to pop in? And then that feeling, that sense of knowingness that when you saw this person became very strong and altered your state of consciousness. A lot of us are sort of in a deep depression, a kind of a slumber of life, and we're just kind of moving along. And then suddenly we meet our karmic connection. And everything inside of us is transformed. It changes. Our heart rate goes up. Our brains start to awaken. We start to feel things we haven't felt for years or months or days. And at that point in time, that's when you have to go inside, not just go outside and try to figure out who this person is and why you're attracted to
them. You're talking about, you know, like inside oneself, not like
inside
in a building.
Yeah. Yeah. unless you're a contractor.
That's true. Yes.
Figure out something along that line.
But Go within.
Go within. You have to go within and say, gee, what's altered? Because if for those of you who have met your karmic companion, whether that had a beginning and an end already, signify that if you were depressed at the time, you probably left that person during a state of depression. And you're continuing the story. Don't forget that in the midst of your life, when you meet your karmic partner, our karmic mate, you are continuing where you left off. Some people meet on the phone. Some people meet in person. Some people meet through writing letters. It all depends. You have to really analyze that because it becomes part of the bigger picture when you start to analyze why you met that person, under what situation. Now, the other part of it is when you look at the end of a relationship, and sometimes we can define this as beginning and end of a relationship because it's hard to sometimes to define where a relationship is during the stage that it's still active. Well, that can be determined too. But when a relationship ends, have you learned something? Was it about a mutual parting? Was there a harsh parting? Did you seek and find understanding? Or was there some truth that came up? Was the person cheating or being deceitful? So those are the kind of attitudes that you have to look at. Now, if you end up getting hurt in a relationship and you were the innocent party, as much as that word could be applied, then you're paying off karmic debt. There's a karmic debt, especially when you meet someone and it's like a riptide. You can't escape the energy of the person. It's just so strong, and in many regards, it's mutual, that two people can't escape each other. If you're going after someone and you feel there's got to be some connection, and the other person is not validating that connection or acknowledging it, then you've got to understand that the relationship in the past was based upon denial or rejection. And that you've both come back to the planet to get closure on that rejection, and maybe one person is holding the other soul accountable to get that closure.
Right, and I think that it's important to remind our listeners that the creative journey of a karmic relationship, or even a transcendent relationship, I mean, these are not necessarily fixed. sometimes circumstances are fixed in a person's life, and connections are meant to end. But it also, the content of the relationship also has to do with the choices people make within that relationship.
Yeah.
And oftentimes people will decide or make a choice to instigate an end to a relationship, and then someone else will come in that wouldn't have come in otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Have choices been different. So, and the other thing, Neil, is that, you know, the karmic aspect of relationship, I mean, there are transcendent partners that have karma together. So transcendent versus karmic are not mutually exclusive in terms of the nature of relationships. I mean, they can be,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, that's true. I mean, some relationships are based on the aspect of mere transcendence, meaning that the karma has already been resolved,
right.
But that lifetime didn't hold enough time for a transcendent relationship. So,
so you leave
a relationship, the karma's done, and yet the souls are still longing for each other. Well, they both came back on the earth, and guess what? They're now on a purely transcendent level. That's when two people meet, and there's an instant feeling of loyalty, a deep bond, compassion, love. I mean, those things can happen in a karmic relationship,
because
and then they can disintegrate. But if the two individuals are purely transcendent, they're not going to break that bond once they meet.
Purely transcendent, but can't relationships that are transcendent in nature have karma that's unresolved from past lives? I mean, we know that yes, the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a transcendent connection with somebody,
mm-hmm.
or a connection that's supposed to move into a transcendent phase, but there still can be karma to resolve between those two people.
Yeah, you can have karma in a transcendent relationship. And a transcendent relationship can be invaded upon by another outstanding karmic relationship that in a very esoteric way is saying, I get to have my say with this person. I'm coming in. I'm moving in. And I'm going to shatter this transcendent relationship because I have karma with this person. That's when things get really nasty and rude and almost like a nightmare. A person can find themselves in love with somebody. I've had clients in love with someone who find themselves very conflicted by another attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't, for the life of them, they can't figure out why they're going through it. Well, tragically, it's a karmic composition where karma sometimes comes in the best moments. It's like a party crash. They crash the party. They just move in unexpectedly. I mean, we have these unexpected moments in our lifetime. We're just out of the dark. There's a shot in the dark, and it involves a kind of crucial sense of invasion. The attitude of something intruding upon a good situation can also have a kind of karmic intensity that can be analyzed and defined with a careful analysis of the content of the energy, which of course can also be revealed in the birth dates, believe it or not. That can also help to clarify what's going on in a person's lifetime. And can a person have two transcendent beings at the same time? Yeah, that gets
very tricky.
Oh, that gets awful because it's a torn situation where you have the choice of choosing between two people who you very deeply connected to. They feel connected to both parties. Now, some offer to kind of skip through the rules and regulations and hold affairs. So there's a lot of people who hold affairs, and the problematic statement there would be that they're getting what they want, but they're applying deception. And that deception is a problem. When I'm faced with clients who are in those kinds of situations, the first rule of thumb is you got to be open. You got to tell your partner, this is what's going on. The karma is far less fatal if you do that, then if you hide secrets from your soulmate or your companion.
Right. And when we talk about soulmate, Neil, because, you know, the term is so widely used, but it's tough to pin down a definition of what a soulmate is. We were talking about this yesterday, that you can have varying degrees of karma with a soulmate. You can have karma with a twin soul, like we talked about. Transcendent mm-hmm. relationships can have karmic aspects to them. But soulmates, there are levels of a soulmate connection, you know, lower level soulmate connections and higher level soulmate connections. Mm-hmm. So
there are lower and higher, yes, right. There are lower and higher soulmate connections. And indeed, the content and the diversity and classification of what makes a soulmate, because a soulmate is actually where the soul is outside of the body, have combined in their experiences together. So their souls have somewhat, quote, mated together, not literally mated in all respects.
But you're talking about on the astral plane.
On the astral plane, the mating on an astral plane is through the soul, not through the body.
Right.
So there could be a mating of sorts on the astral plane with the two souls descended back to the earth and they're playing out a certain karma. And, you know, the other thing is, what I find interesting about long-term couples, a lot of them die together. They die at the same time. Whether they die naturally both in bed, there was one couple that had died.
You
showed me a picture
yeah.
of an old couple that had died in bed like within minutes or
hours of each other. They dreamed to actually die together. And the woman wasn't sick, but she became sick very soon after her husband.
Yeah, they were like hugging each other, were embraced.
Yeah, it was weird. There was actually a picture of them in bed together.
Yeah, it was odd, but not really odd.
Well,
kind of gothically romantic because they were very old and, you know, you was just looking at that picture. It's not like Sleeping Beauty and the prince were in bed together. More like the senior citizen convalescent rendition. But the attitude, too, is that lovers can die together. Many lovers die together in fishing, in boating accidents, car accidents, tragedies of some sort, fires. It's really quite interesting. When I don't know if I've had the misfortune or misfortune of reading couples that I saw dying together, and they did. How you explain that to them, or even if there's if it's necessary, is sometimes you just say, well, I see you two going together. And sometimes with great relief that they know they're going to exit the earth together. Now, when that happens to the two souls, they leave the body together. There's a mutual attraction on the soul level once they leave that body. And if, by golly, they've completed their earthly existence, then there's a great celebration that they're not coming back to the earth.
And do they remain together? Because I know a lot of, you know, we've talked a lot recently about what happens after death and the state of the astral realm and whether, you know, you're up there with your family hanging out.
Yeah.
You know, when couples are dying together, are they actually able to join in some kind of unity in the astral realm?
They join.
Because it's not totally commonplace that occurs, is
no,
what I'm saying.
No, they it isn't. They join, and then there's certain attitudes and levels of energy as we go upward into the astral plane, so they can even become twin souls.
Become twin souls? That's confusing.
Well,
how can you become a twin soul? There's different kinds of twin souls,
right? There's a prerequisite for that.
Uh-huh.
And there's a precondition for that. So twin souls are actually, they're not born on the earth. They're born on the other plane. They actually emerge like we emerge on this plane, we're born. But a twin soul emerges on the astral plane, and they're birthed on the astral plane as two souls that are in twin formation.
Right.
So, but that's the attitude of the ingredients of the energy. It's sort of like the royal bee. All bees are born drones or workers. And then the royal bee, the queen bee is said royal jelly, it's called. So they're already conditioned to be a queen before they're even born. So because they're fed what's called royal jelly. Now, the attitude of the soul is fed a certain royalty. And two souls that are fed this kind of royalty, they're kind of conditioned to actually graduate and ascend into the astral realm as twin souls. That was already determined on the earth based upon karma. So a lot of people on the earth will say, well, we're twin souls. We're twin souls. What they're really saying, in my estimation, is that they're saying we're going to be rebirthed into the astral realm as twin souls, and we're on our way there. We're in the incubation stage. The 9 months, 9 to 10 months we spend in the womb is significant to the lifetime we spend on the earth.
Right.
We're in incubation stage, waiting to be merged as pure soul and spirit without the body.
Okay, Neil. Well, I'm going to turn it over to our callers, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take our first. This is Michelle, 101774, I believe. Are you there?
Yes, that is correct. Yes. Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Hello. Good.
Hi.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good.
33. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I'm giving him your birth date again. 101774, 30 equals 3. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, no problem. Well, I know I've talked about this before. I did my business trip to Spain, and I had an agenda when I went over there, and I've come back now, and I've kind of shifted my focus a little bit, and I've been thinking about it, and I've been thinking about moving into working with hotels and tourism, and I'd like to know what you think about that and what kind of guidance you can give me.
Hotels and tourism, and I'm trying to remember what your job was before.
Is teach there English.
Teaching? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay,
I teach English, yeah.
Like English as a second language?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. All right.
And you're from going from teaching English as a second language to getting into the hotel and tourism trade as a job, is that what you're saying? Asking?
Well, yes, but teaching English with that.
Well, you know, hospitality, when you're in tourism hotels, you're really in hospitality. It's a crude element of hospitality, but it's still hospitality. It's meaning that you're easing and comforting a visitor, a traveler. And there is a certain about that. When you get into the idea of nomadic tribes and the ultimate conclusion that you should love your neighbor and we're all one. So when you get into the attitude of hospitality, Michelle, and that is equatable to, in a way, teaching, because we're reminding that the forms of teaching isn't just in the attitude of how to teach English, how to speak English, but how to treat each other as human beings and how to ease transitions. So the transition from going from one country to another, I mean, that's part of life, isn't it? That we enjoy our vacations, that we're at ease, that we're comforted, that we have safety, that we have guides. In fact, the word guide is really, we think of guide in a spiritual sense, but we hardly ever think that the same word can be applied to vacation guides, guides in traveling, guides at AAA that help us, guides in other countries that guide us through the region,
well,
and you know, in tourism.
I mean, in terms of that, sorry to interrupt, but patron saints, I mean, they're not the same as guides, but they're patron saints for all kinds of different things.
Yeah,
so it's similar.
Yeah. You know, the presiding factor of how do you somewhat govern someone's well-being. I mean, we get into the idea, too, of being a keeper in that respect. But what, if you're asking me, Michelle, I know I'm giving you this deep attitude answer about your question. It's simply, hey, I just want to know, is hotel and tourism good for me?
No,
but
that's fine.
I've got to also consider that you have sevens in your birth date, and my responsibility as a reader to give you a proper answer has to include some sense of spirituality that's in its response. So in short term, yes, I do believe that you're in that element right now as we speak, Michelle, where the hotel tourism trade. I've worked at hotels too, in fact.
Sure,
the hotel
too.
Tourism trade, and so is Krista, is part of it's not a it doesn't have great impact. But the smallest roles that we play, if we bring a sense of well being to others there, well, that gets applied to our spiritual essence, and so I think it's a good thing. You're also going to be 40 years old, so you do have a journey between 39 and 42 that you're going through, and some of these wonderful changes can shift into that gear, you know, because after all, you're virtually 13, just over 13 cycles through your master number right now as we speak. And 14 cycles at 42 is going to be very significant for you. So you could be doing this for a couple of years.
Okay.
Well, okay.
All right.
That sounds good. Thank
call.
You.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. I'm eating a donut.
Yeah, that's...
Neil bought me a donut this morning. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I shouldn't be eating on the air, but it's just too good to resist. Okay. All right. Let me bring on the next caller. So we have, let me call out the order as well, 4052. So everybody's getting a reading, 352. If you could press 1 on your phone if you would like to speak with us, because that indicates that you would like to have a reading. 626, good morning.
Good morning, guys. This is Jade. Okay.
Oh, hey, Jade. I don't know why I didn't. I've not retained your phone number because you haven't been calling so much. But we did speak with you recently, so I'm glad you called again. 41979, and she's a 40 equals 4. What's going on?
Not much. I was like really enamored with the topic today, so I just wanted a question about what you see for my 6/19/1970.
Okay. 6/19/1970 is the birth date of the person you're inquiring about?
Yes.
Okay. You know, something I wanted to say, Neil, too, is that, I forgot, is that not only is it looking at a birthday in the codes, but it's about when you're a reader like yourself, seeing the birth date with the third eye and being able to intuit things that are not visible to the naked eye. So that's part of the connection that you're making, you know, when you look at birth date code.
Yeah. 26, 33. So this person is a 6, Jade.
Okay.
It's 32.
Huh?
6/9/70?
I thought she said
6/19.
Oh, I missed 6/19. That. 33. Sorry.
So, Jade, this person is a 6 in this person is a 6 in master number, and you are a 4 in master number. That's your master number.
Okay.
But notice this. Your months are also 6 and 4, respectively speaking. 6 and 4,
yes.
As well in your months. Your days are the same. And your years are interchangeable. In other words, your 7 to his 0 is 70. And his 7 to your 9 is 79. So when
right.
you combine the years in X form, a little palmistry there but with the X symbol, but when you combine the X's in there, they become uniform. Your numbers together become a 10, 6 plus 4, which is the same as your day, 1 plus 9. They both add up to 10. So there's a karmic connection with this person as well as a transcendent possibility that you just don't meet the person because of karma. You're meeting them to move forward into maybe a higher level of energy. Now, it's interesting, you're... 9 years younger than the person, almost by exactness. And 9 is important because 9 by itself is your fire number, which is the last number in the day that you're born. The last number in this is a promising premise. Now, I'm not going to suggest that it's destiny. Well, because there's a certain factor in there that I'm picking up on as we speak that provides some sense of controversy. There's something in the element regardless of what I've just said, there's something in the element that challenges the durability of the relationship. It's probably something going on in his karma that could be getting in the way of clarifying exactly what's going to happen. It could be an ex. There could be some factor going on that he hasn't clarified it from his childhood. But there's a piece missing, Jade, in this mm-hmm. person's life, if that makes any sense to you, that hasn't been cleared up yet. And that could present a bit of a barrier or block or challenge to the ultimate desirable goal of you two being together. And given that it may not be resolved, then the relationship could come to more of an unresolved or sad ending. But given mm-hmm. that problem can be resolved, then the relationship can blossom. Problem is that the absolute reason for it to be resolved is based upon free will. So it's going to be according to this man's maturity.
Okay.
Were you going to say something, Jade?
No, I guess not. I guess I got everything
no.
I need.
Okay.
You know, pretty much. I guess my only question would be, how would I approach that? Like, what would be my, you know, best entry method
now
of?
Now we're getting into kind of the footnotes of your book of life, because your responsibility in getting involved in it has a karmic connection as well as a transcendent connection. In other words, it's kind of like when to fold, when to let your hand show. Your journey involved in this situation also has its karmic and transcendent tendency because you are absolutely involved. So the attitude of timing of that in regards to also the procedure and strategy, that requires a deeper, more time-consuming analysis. But it's an important one to consider.
Okay.
But it would provide, you know, more details, more elaboration on the plot development would have to be examined and investigated, and then you go from there. But
so
I will
it
say
could,
one thing.
It could be something as simple as a relationship with a child or a family member or.
Absolutely. All caps.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. Oh, go, please, go ahead.
What were you going to say, Neil?
Especially if there's some kind of law enforcement or court enforcement involved in the proceedings, or there's some kind of law enforcement involved in one of the person's life, someone in the law enforcement or court proceedings, that could be an indication of some variety there's some significant factor in that regard.
Well, the mother of his children had passed away, and I took over from when they were six and up, and she was troubled.
Yeah. Okay, so there's an attitude there that it gets deeper into the thing, and that sure enough, as you're speaking, it becomes more convoluted, more complex, but we're on the right path of that complexity is actually the right boulevard. It's the right pathway to analyze exactly where it's going to end up.
Okay, Jade.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Say hi to your mom for us.
I will.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
All right. Bye. Take care. 562-596-7818. Okay, yeah, we have a little bit more leisure today because it's not like Monday's show when we were totally packed. All right.
Is Wednesdays a slower day?
It's been lately. Usually Wednesday was busier in the past, and now it's kind of shifted. But anyway, 407, good morning.
Hi.
Who's this?
This is Laura, 42481.
Oh, Laura, we can hardly hear you.
That's how you spell it.
It's L-A-U-R-A. It's Laura from Florida, right? And we have a plane overhead, so it's really hard to hear. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, that's better.
That's much better.
That's a birthday.
Laura, what's your birthday?
4/24/81.
24/81.
And she's a 29-11 too, which I knew. What's going on, Laura?
Okay, I did one of those guided meditations, kind of like meet your guide sort of thing. And I got really tired and I was falling asleep. And I can't tell the difference if I was actually having a meditative experience or if I was just dreaming about, if I was just having a dream of what that would be.
I'm just trying to look for
some clarity on that.
A guided meditation, like from where? Was it something like on a tape or?
It was something online, and it was a meditation to like meet your guide and get some sense of clarity. Like you could ask a question during this meditation, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
you've got to be careful.
Yeah.
Because in such a opened atmosphere realm is filled with all kinds of guides. It's almost like you went on the boulevard and said, hey, can anyone take me? Does anyone have a car? Can they take me to the airport? You know, and sure, just because you have a car and a guy knows how to drive and they call themselves a guide, that doesn't mean they're a true guide. There's a lot of imposters and devious dark souls out there. I'm not suggesting that every time you step into the astral realm on a free rolling basis that you're going to be meeting some kind of demon or dark soul. But I'm getting a good vibe about where you went, Laura, and your ambiguity in deciphering what happened. It might have been your own safety protection to not get involved. It was like you were almost consciously saying, you know what, I don't feel good about being in the backseat here, this car. And so you weren't really sure about the intention and the psychological nature of your trip. And I'm getting a vibe that you encountered something that took advantage of you. Some of these entities are very conscious. When you send that signal out, you have to be aware that you're exposing yourself to all kinds of entities that are looking at you now. And if you don't have a proper protection and a proper guide, then you can set yourself up to become very vulnerable to an entity that calls themselves a guide. And then what happens is that their information becomes very vague. And, you know, it's like the metaphor where the girl takes the taxi drive and the guy takes her, drives into the desert, you know what? And so you got to be very careful with that, Laura. Don't do guided imageries in such a way. It's a serious business. And what you're doing is it's almost like you call the 900 number for advice.
Right.
Very careful.
It's like, you know, if you're going to have surgery, you don't go to like a dental hygienist. I mean, there's so much information out there on the internet because there's no governing board over metaphysics, psychic energy, spirituality. So you have to be very careful. I mean, I'm not necessarily saying, do something with Neil. But really finding someone who's qualified, I think, rather than just taking something online and...
Yeah, anyone who's qualified. But the internet has opened up not only room for a lot of criminal behavior, but a lot of demon behavior. There's a lot of stuff out there. The internet is cyberspace. It's out there. It's getting closer and closer to the astral realm. And that realm is not just filled with angels and fairies and... you know, nice little entities. There's a lot of trouble out there, too. The astral realm is a dualistic region, just like the Earth is. So you got to be careful there, Laura.
Okay.
Anything else?
All right. Not that I can think of. I mean, every once in a while, it's kind of hard to explain. Sometimes I can just feel my energy being up, and I can mirror gaze and a little bit see my face morphing. But the last time I saw it, it was really confusing. Like, it was like covering up my eyes.
Yeah. Well, what's happening there, Laura, is that your third eye, your sixth chakra, is compromised by something happening in one of your lower chakras, one of your lower plane energies. So there's probably some confusion maybe in the second chakra, the sexual relationship chakra, that by the time that confusion follows up the ladder towards through all the chakras and it gets to your third eye, there's confusion. So you don't always get a consistent image. There's no consistency there because sometimes that chakra sucks up some of the karma of another chakra below it. And so you're having confusion in your third eye due to some unresolved conflict in a lower chakra that sometimes appears when you're gazing and sometimes doesn't. But the danger is that it's still loose. It's a loose karma that's floating in your psyche.
Okay.
When you're totally enlightened, there's no confusion. Very rarely is there confusion. At times you have challenging moments. But when you have clarity and balance in all your chakras, they all work like a team together, protecting each other, enhancing each other. When you have a confusion in one chakra, that means that another chakra is bent and broken.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean. It's like a crack in the foundation.
That's perfect.
Yes.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Hopefully that helps. And the problem, oops, sorry, I cut you off, Laura. Were you saying something? She dropped. Okay. She was done anyway. Yeah. The problem isn't always with the specific chakra. There might be an issue, and it
mm-hmm.
often comes from a different chakra.
That's right. Yeah, a different chakra. Because you have to have, the chakras have to be complete, I mean, totally functioning and complete and healthy for all of them to be healthy. You know, one is broken, they all get hurt.
Yeah. Okay. Area code 352 is our next. Good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all today?
We are good. Thank you. Who's this?
Good.
How are you?
My name is Lisa. I'm good. My name is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. And where
Hi.
Are you calling from?
Gainesville, Florida.
Florida. And your birth date, Lisa?
Is 1/27/65.
Okay. And I don't think we've spoken with you before, have we?
No, you haven't.
31-4. You're a 31-4. What brings you to our show today, Lisa?
Well, I'm having a lot of family tragedy. My son has been on, my oldest son has been on life support 3 times in the past 6 months.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
His father passed away 10 months ago. And so I'm just wondering if he's going to be all right. He keeps OD'ing. He actually is going through a severe grief reaction, and he's bipolar, and he's not wanting to be here. So I'm wondering if you can give me any insight on, is he going to come through this?
Well, your son is going through a great karmic struggle. Sometimes what happens is the soul can say a couple of things, Lisa. The soul can say to the guides that be, I can't do this anymore. You know what? I got to check out. Let me come back to the planet and start over again. I can't handle this. I got to get out of here. And starts to give up on its role or its mission or its responsibilities. And actually, the soul will leave the body, and then the soul will renegotiate the terms of action for the next lifetime. Other times, there's a destiny pattern that can't be escaped. The soul is supposed to die now. Other times, the soul, there's a struggle. They don't, you know, they get to that near point of death, and the soul says, oh, no, wait a minute. Do I have to come back and just continue this? Oh, wait a minute. I got to get out of it. I got to stay on the planet. I don't want to do this over again. Now, I think your son is in that category. I think he's struggling and fighting for his life, but he's made a determination to leave it, the planet. But once he got to a certain point, I believe your son is saying in his deep subconsciousness, maybe I don't want to leave yet. Maybe I should stick through and at least get through this course of life. That's why I think it's going. There's great tragedy, and there's great complexity in the energy. And the fact that, you know, at this point in time, with his father dying 10 months ago, and there's a 10 in the element of your day and month, 1, 2, 7 is a 10. 65, your year, is an 11, which brings in a lot of controversy. This is where we're looking at. And you said something about reactions, so I'm assuming that there might have been, was there some drug interaction or something that he didn't respond too well to?
Oh, yes, there's a lot of drug interaction. He keeps ODing. Yeah. He actually is taking too much of different things. And, so they're having to bring him back and innovate him and put him on life support. And then he pulls through, and then he does it again. And it's just so disheartening. I'm his mother. And I don't know. I feel helpless. I really don't know. He moved to Colorado, and he just done that 2 months ago. And so now he's not even in the same state. He's like thousands of miles away, and I don't know how to reach him. I don't know. You know, I'm just kind of.
Well, I'm
holding my breath.
Yeah. The constructive thing here, Lisa, for the sake of time, would be that your karma right now is not far-reaching enough or abundant enough, if you will, to provide the kind of support you want to offer your son. So what I'm going to do is ask a spirit and a guide and an angel, a spirit, a guide, and an angel, that's three entities, to go over to your son and wrap energy fields around your son to assist him and help him in his struggles. So
his name is David.
Yeah.
Do you have a? Should we get his birthday? What's his birthday, Lisa? That's okay. We're all right.
His birthday is tomorrow. It's 7/9/87.
Okay. Wow. 6/41/5. Is that right?
Yeah, 41.5. Wow. A deep karma.
Yeah.
A very deep karma. Five is a strong physicality.
Their karmic numbers are like.
There's a lot of stuff going on there. And the strong physicality, and let's see, 87 and 2015 would be, that's naturally a 20, he's 28 years old.
Yes, he will be tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
The 8. So he'll be 28. Where can I make this work? Okay, 28 is in your day plus 1. 127 equals 28. So what I'm going to do numerically is work a little bit of your energy magic and your karma as to why you brought this young man into the world to begin with, which was a karmic situation as we speak. And what I'm going to do is take that karma and attach it to the essence that 27 plus 1 is 28, your son's going to be 28, and I'm going to use that energy. That would be a 7 on his end and a 1 on your end. So 7-1 is connected to your first and third numbers, which is 8, which is rebirth. So it's an experiment. That's all it is. But I'm going to use it, that my knowledge and my know-how and whatever gifts and talent I have to reach over to your son to help him through this. And I've done enough calculation here to at least assume that maybe we have these three entities that are going to assist us. So please let us know.
Well, I've actually got chills right now. So whatever's going on, you definitely have some sort of energy flowing, because I feel, I've never called in, and I don't even know you, but I feel chills. So
well,
whatever that means.
Thank you. Thank you. And above that, those chills probably come from a high spirit guy too, working through me. So we have sometimes these moments on the radio, Lisa, where the energies are just miraculous. And so we're going to hope and pray to God that those energies will be sent over to your son. Please keep us informed as to what this is. And Kristen and I will certainly be in deep prayer about it.
Yes, I will.
Okay, thank you so much.
I sure appreciate you. Thank you so very much. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. And if Lisa would like to contact Neil directly, 562-596-7818.
Okay. Our next caller, Rosa Maria.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, fine. How
are you?
How are you? 12:31:74. I believe that's correct, yeah. Is that right?
Right, 12:31:74.
Okay. What's going on?
Oh, I guess your topic that you're having today, like the death birth relationship. And I was like, that was interesting. And if we can pick up, you need his birthday too?
Sure. Go ahead.
10/25/1960.
7/25/1960.
Right. Okay. 9/14/24/38. And what's, I'm
not sure. She was just saying that she really liked the topic.
Oh,
and that
okay.
She wanted to examine this birth date in relation to hers,
yeah.
In relation to the topic. So you're looking, is this a romantic interest, we're assuming? I mean, not.
Yeah, interest. Kind of, an interest.
Well, you know, Rosa Maria, your energy is a 1 and his is a 3, or vice versa. His is a 3 and yours is a 1. Those are your master numbers, but lo and behold, that's the day you're born. So you and this individual share a karma connection together. It could have been, I'll give you a wild guess. In the past life, it might have been mother and child. There might have been, now that's the past life. That's the past life. It was mother and child, or it could have been two siblings, but I think it was in-house. It was a family situation. And that's where I think the past life came from. Now, as we move forward into this lifetime, we get something else going on that's kind of interesting. Your numbers together become a 4, 3 plus 1, as it is in your day, 3 plus 1. You have a 4 in your year next to your 7. Now, that equates to the idea that the two of you are here to formulate a spirit and a heart connection. Ideally speaking, you're supposed to be here, the two of you are supposed to be here to formulate some kind of spirit-heart communication. Where it goes from there is just the blossoming of the gifts of the spirit, but that's what the premise is all about. So it doesn't matter if it's wrapped up in any kind of trouble right now or ambiguity or indecision about what's going on. That might be par for the course because after all, Rosa Maria, you are compounded. You're a 28 equals 10 equals 1. That means you've got extra doses of karma on your back that you're trying to get through. And not only that, but your 7, that's solid in your year, is broken up in your day and month. 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 1. So it's a broken up 7. So that means your spirituality was broken up due to a past life scenarios where you lost spirituality in a past life. You've come back to the planet once again to regain and maintain spirit and to find a heart-balanced energy with another human being. Don't forget, the 7 in your year is equatable to the 7 in his month. But the 7 in his month is broken up as the 25 in his day. So he also has a broken 7 in his karma. So the two of you are on a very interesting level of communion, however disrupted by karma. But the idea of the karma transcending into something higher is still notable and reachable, but not predictable, not yet. There's too much going on, too much dialogue would have to be established to get closer to an answer.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Cool.
Rosa Maria.
Appreciate it.
Thanks. You're welcome. And further discussion can always be conducted via any else phone number 562-596-7818. And we're out of callers now. I think we will end the show.
Okay.
We're back on the air on Monday. Thanks for everyone's participation. And thanks, Neil. And we will see you or hear from you on Monday next week. Bye-bye.